Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Buck back with you. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, great. DJ, I wish that the National Football League would have doubleheaders every Monday night. It was so cool having two games to watch. I know I fell into the trap that they want fans to fall into, being excited about the doubleheader, but it was great to see two games.
I'm with you, man. I love it. I mean, maybe it takes a little bit away from a Sunday. We got enough other games going around on Sunday. We'll be fine with that. I'm good with a doubleheader on Monday nights. Maybe that's something in the future. Maybe that's something the NFL thinks about here. I dig it, man.
Oh, come on, man. You already know that it's something in the future. But, you know, I told you I was during the COVID year when they moved it to Tuesday. I would be okay with that too.
Every day of the week.
That Titans-Bills game, they could have played that Tuesday early. I would be okay watching that. It's just fun to watch. It just gives it a different flavor. And also because on Sundays, like even if you're the fan, you can't really watch everything at one time. But to be able to have like dedicated games where you can see the top teams and to be able to compare and contrast, to me, it was just so helpful in being able to just kind of begin to talk about the pretenders and the contenders in this league.
Yeah, we're going to get to these games. We'll break those two down. Titans, Bills, Eagles, Vikings. Give you our thoughts on those. We're also going to give you a little take on Trevor Lawrence and how much different he looks. You get to see it up close and personal every week, Buck, but he looks fantastic so far this year. Starting to see the guy we thought we would see coming into the league. Some surprising 0-2 teams, the Raiders and the Bengals, going to break them down, as well as preview a Thursday night tilt here, a big one with the Steelers and the Browns. But let's start, first of all, Titans, Bills. I mean, is there anybody that's close to the Bills right now? I mean, when you look around the league in terms of just pure domination and being ready to go and looking like nothing standing in their way.
Yeah, no, they're on one. They definitely are motivated, and they're definitely out to prove that they're the best team in the National Football League. And the thing that you would like to see is the first week they obliterated the Rams. They didn't have their A game. This week was what I call a very mature performance by a team that knows that they're superior to others. They just went up and down the field. They took care of business. They didn't mess around. As they say in basketball, they didn't mess around playing with their food. They just went to them right away. And I just love the way that they are just kind of taking a workmanlike approach to blowing these teams out. It's very methodical, but it just also shows you how talented this team is. They're a very talented squad, and all the pieces of the puzzle really fit together.
Yeah, I felt like Josh Allen, I don't know that he really even needed to take the driver out of the bag. I mean, he ran the ball one time for 10 yards in this game. You know, that's kind of in case of emergency. Well, there was no emergency in this one. It was efficient. It was easy the way Josh Allen was dealing the ball in this game, Buck. You saw some of the vertical shots here, but I didn't feel like he really ever put the ball in danger and never even had to use his legs. It was just a very workmanlike destruction of one of the best teams in the AFC from last season, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, great performance. I mean, just a standout performance from Josh Allen. And, you know, it's funny, you almost forget about the things that you picked him apart for when he was at Wyoming in terms of the accuracy issues. He is so dialed in and so on point right now. You know, we talk about the quarterback and being the golden age of quarterback play right now. These young quarterbacks are so impressive. Josh Allen has probably improved more than any young quarterback that I can remember since I've been in the league. As a player scout, and that's going back to 94. The incremental growth that he has made from the time that he stepped into the league, to me, it's a game changer in the evaluation process, because now you're able to look at players who have the tools and you begin to have an imagination of, if we put the structure, if we put the supporting cast around them, we got the right coach, we absolutely can turn a prospect into a premier player. Josh Allen is exhibit number one.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about all those P's, right? You talk about playmakers, play callers, protection. They've done a wonderful job of surrounding him with that support system. Ken Dorsey slid into that Brian Daboll play calling role very smoothly. They haven't skipped a beat. And if you flip it over to the Titans here, Buck, last year, everything was kind of there for him. You know, I don't know that that was a team that you looked at him and thought, man, this is a large window of a bunch of years. These guys can make a championship run. But every now and then you get a team where everything just lines up perfectly for them, and health and catching people at the right time and being on a roll. They had that all last year. And that's a great example, man. You better cash it in. You better cash it in when you get your opportunity, unless you've got one of these, you know, handful of young AFC superstar quarterbacks. These other teams, man, they're going to get maybe one shot every, you know, 5 to 10 years. You got to cash it in, man.
Yeah, and I think that's also the urgency that everyone in the organization has to operate under when you're one of those teams. When you're the Tennessee Titans and last year was going the way that it was going, you make a move at the deadline to give your team an opportunity to get over the top. You try and figure out a way to create the urgency within the squad to know that, hey, it's win or go home, and we may not be able to get back here next year. What you're seeing, the teams that have the young quarterbacks and all the stuff around them, they have a chance. But I look at the Buffalo Bills and I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and there's a huge divide between them and the other teams in the AFC.
Yeah, last thought on Tennessee, then we'll move on. You know, when we talked about the wide receiver movement in the offseason, we explained the fact, hey, if you don't have a superstar quarterback, you better have a superstar cast. If you do have a superstar quarterback, maybe you can allow some changes. We thought about Patrick Mahomes. Okay, Tyreek Hill left, but you got Patrick Mahomes. He's going to elevate everybody. We talked about Devontae Adams leaving, and we said, okay, well, that's Aaron Rodgers. He'll elevate everybody. I don't know that Ryan Tannehill is equipped to watch A.J. Brown dart out that door. You know what I mean? Like, it's easier to stomach losing a superstar weapon when you've got a superstar quarterback. And for some of the success that Ryan Tannehill's had in this league, he's not a superstar quarterback.
No, he's not a superstar quarterback, and it was very system-dependent. And he was also player-dependent, meaning he was very dependent upon King Henry being back there, being able to command a lot of attention, eight-man fronts and those things. But also, when you think about his best year, he had A.J. Brown on the outside winning one-on-ones, but he also had Jonnu Smith in the middle as a terrific seam runner. Well, in each of the last two off-seasons, the Titans have let both of those guys go, and we're not seeing the same Ryan Tannehill from when he was at his best. And so it's a lesson in terms of team building. You have to know your personnel, know what makes them tick, and you have to be able to be honest in terms of where they are and what they need to play at their best. We've seen the last 2 years when you remove him from a dominant tight end over the middle of the field and a big-time playmaker on the outside, he's simply not the same passer that he was when he had those weapons around him.
I want to say I heard this on a podcast somewhere, something about trucks and trailers.
And trailers, yeah.
Is that Exhibit A? Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of it right there?
The trailer, yeah. He's back there flapping, the doors open. It's ding, 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 going down the highway. Like, they've lost some of the cargo. It's a different deal. And so the team is carrying him more so than he is carrying the team. And you got to understand what you have, truck or trailer and quarterback.
No question. No question. All right, let's get to this other game here. And the way I want to set this up, Jalen Hurts coming off his best game as a pro. He's 26 of 31, 333 yards, touchdown. He had 11 carries, 57 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. So a phenomenal performance by Jalen Hurts and this Philadelphia Eagles offense. And I wanted to get back and go in the Wayback Machine a little bit. We have some audio we're going to run here in just a second. If you remember, we had talked a lot about Jalen Hurts in the run-up to that draft. And there was talk of him being a third or fourth round pick. That was kind of what you were hearing all around the media. And I had said for multiple updates and iterations of my top 50, I said, man, I just feel sick to my stomach because I know some of the issues Jalen Hurts might have throwing the ball, but I really like this guy and I believe in him. And I feel like if I don't put him in my top 50, I'm going to really regret it. So this was audio from our podcast before that draft. It was my final 150, and I had finally put Jalen Hurts in my top 50. And I want to listen, everybody listen to the conversation that Bucky and I had and the things that we saw then, both of us, and how, man, sometimes you got to trust that little voice inside your head. That's where you get some honesty. Let's roll that clip. Finally, number 50, I made the plunge. I slept like a baby last night after turning this in, Buck, because I put Jalen Hurts in at number 50.
Yeah, he has been a guy that he's such a polarizing prospect, particularly on Twitter. The reaction that you get when you do things or you're flowery in your evaluation of him is funny. But I think, DJ, we've seen it. We've been around the game a long time, and we've seen these players kind of find a way to last and carve out nice careers. Jalen Hurts is productive. Jalen Hurts is smart. He's tough. He's competitive. He's performed well on a big stage for two different teams. He's a winner. He's led his team to the winner's circle, two different teams. And so we can nitpick and talk about, like, oh, I wish he would throw it a little better. He could do this a little better. But at the end of the day, like, the total of everything that he brings to the table is one that I just think you're going to have a tough time convincing coaches and scouts that he's not going to make it. And we've talked about, hey, he's going to go day two, but not being surprised if at the bottom of the first, maybe he hears his name call. I just think he's a really, really solid player. And the fact that he handled the Tua situation with the way that he handled it, I think it's just another feather in his cap.
Yeah, and I find it funny. I mean, a lot of people are like, no, this guy's going in the fourth round. You're crazy. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think it only takes one team. And I'll read you the end of my summary here, Buck. Overall, Hurts must continue to improve in the passing game, but I'm going to bet on his eventual success due to his playmaking skills and overall competitiveness. The kid's wired the right way. He's won a lot of football games. He can make plays. I was tweeted this out the other day, and I think we might have even talked about it on the podcast, which was, man, you're going to be under pressure in the NFL. It's a pressure league. So how do you play under pressure when you've got free rushers, when you've got to be able to think quick and make things happen? Now, you need to do one of two things. You need to be able to identify it and attack, or you better be athletic enough to escape. And while I think Jalen's still going to take some time to get comfortable being able to identify and attack, and I think right away, Buck, he's going to be able to escape and create. And when you look at some of these quarterbacks in this draft class, they can't do either. I can hang my hat on the fact I know for a fact this kid can escape and create and make some plays.
Well, there you go, Buck. I mean, that was the conversation at the time. And it was like, okay, that's like scouting 101, right? Where you're never going to get the whole picture colored in. But if you have some of those key things and you see that, you mentioned it, the toughness, the competitiveness, the guy's a winner, all those things, you just bet on the guy. You know, when you're smart enough and you're tough enough and you have that competitive gene in you and you've won football games, it was like, you know what? I get it. I know some. You'll see some balls in the dirt. You'll see some balls airmailed, and maybe he likes to tuck and run a little bit earlier than he should. All that stuff, just throw it out the window, man. You're buying the person almost more so than the player. And now we're starting to see that all starting to develop. He came into the league, he was making plays with his legs, and now you're starting to see him get more comfortable back there in the pocket. Now you're seeing not only can he extend and create, this guy can identify and attack. And it's a great scouting lesson.
Yeah, it's a great scouting lesson. We always talk about it. Character trumps everything. That football character piece is very, very important when you're looking at players. I've heard you talk about it on this podcast that bet on the guy. You just wish sometimes that you knew the guy better from a character standpoint so that you can go all in on him. And so we talked about his intelligence, his work ethic, his competitiveness, the professionalism with which he handled the situation at Alabama with Tua, and then winning. At the end of the day, DJ, we talk as scouts about all these things that are related when it comes to traits. But the quarterback's job is to win games. And I don't think you can underscore the value of winning games and doing whatever it takes to get your team to the winner's circle. And I know there are people in the analytics community that will say, well, team wins are not a quarterback stat. Well, all I know is we judge the best quarterbacks on their ability to get to garner rings. That's one of the reasons why Tom Brady is considered the GOAT. I want a quarterback who understands how to win and understands how to play the game in a winning fashion. And so right now, Jalen Hurts is playing winning football for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if he continues to progress as a passer and a playmaker while retaining the ability to win, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have a vice grip on that division for a long time because the stuff around him is spectacular.
Yeah, no doubt. And you think about the weapons he has around him. When I was watching the video this morning and watching all his throws, and I wrote down like there was three S's with him. And a lot of it is because of this offensive line they have, the scheme, the players around him. It's a good setup. It's a nice place to be for a quarterback. But you think about these three S's, Buck. Settle. I mean, he is settling his feet. He is comfortable in that pocket. So he's settling. He's sorting. He's being able to digest all the information the defense has given him. And then he's striking. You know, he's delivering the ball accurately. So settle, sort, and strike. That's what you saw from Jalen Hurts time and time again in this ballgame.
Yeah, you saw it time and time again. And going back to a conversation that I had with a high-ranking official, I asked him, I said, hey, man, when I look at Jalen Hurts, he reminds me so much of Dak Prescott when I saw Dak Prescott at Mississippi State. And the guy told me, man, that's a really good comparison because the stuff that you love about Dak when he was coming out and the stuff that you liked about Jalen had more to do with the character and the leadership skills, which is why their teams gravitate towards them. I believe that Jalen Hurts has worked his way into being a competent passer and a very effective playmaker. But the stuff that he had that was always appealing to the team, leadership skills. And you can't underestimate that at that position, the most important position in football.
No doubt. And again, in this ballgame, great win for the Eagles, dominating performance defensively. Darius Slay, 5 PBUs, 2 picks. He was awesome against Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins, not his best performance. I don't think you put all those turnovers on him. But, you know, look, this is an Eagles team that I think right now you can make a case is the best in the NFC, the way they've got out the gates here, especially with Jalen Hurts playing like he did last night. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to focus on Trevor Lawrence and his development and what we're seeing from him in year number 2. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, Buck, Trevor Lawrence, you saw it, man. You've seen it. You talked about it during training camp. We've seen it in the preseason. We've seen it now as we get into the regular season 2 weeks in. This is a much more comfortable quarterback, and this is starting to resemble the guy that, you know, had all that hype going into Clemson, what he did at Clemson, especially early on in his career against you know, one of the best teams that we've seen in Alabama. To me, he's somebody that had as much pedigree, maybe as anybody since Andrew Luck. I know that was part of the conversation. Last year was kind of a wash. Urban Meyer and that whole setup there was kind of a train wreck and a disaster. But we've seen something a little different here. And you saw 25 for 30 for 235, 2 touches last week against the Colts. What was your biggest takeaway? And what do you see as the biggest change in his game and his development?
Biggest change in his game is Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson and the staff that Doug Peterson has brought around the quarterback. So what they've done is really smart. They have layered the quarterback position with a bunch of guys who know how to coach that position. Mike McCoy is direct contact as the quarterback coach. Press Taylor, who has longtime family ties into the National Football League, is the offensive coordinator. And then Doug Peterson, who played in the league as a quarterback, is the play caller. And so what they have done is they have found a way to create a multi-pronged approach where they're attacking the quarterback but giving him the same message. And then it comes down to the three P's, DJ. We talked about it, but the Jaguars have done that. First, the play caller. So I talked about Doug Peterson. Then it's the protection. So they bring in Brandon Scherff. They draft Luke Fortner to fortify the front line. But they added playmakers on the outside, veteran playmakers, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Engram, to go with Marvin Jones, who was already there. And what those older guys have done, they've created trust between the passer and the pass catcher because the veterans are at the spot that they're supposed to be at on time and allows Trevor to have a lot of confidence. You put all those things together, plus the work ethic that Trevor has displayed throughout the offseason, you now have a second-year quarterback who's beginning to find his way in this league.
Yeah, and watching the tape from this game that you were at there against the Colts, I made a note of just how much they're moving the pocket, getting him very comfortable on the move. You don't know where his launch point's going to be. So even though the offensive line is upgraded, they're not putting a ton on them in terms of having a sitting duck back there. So moving the pocket around, Doug Peterson, obviously under the Andy Reid tutelage, knows the screen game as well as anybody, mixing in a lot of screens, able to slow down that rush. Those are some baked in easy layups as well, which I love to see. And to me, the other thing I notice is just you can see the game just slow down for Trevor Lawrence when you watch him. He's not as skittish as maybe we saw last year. He's just a lot more comfortable. The game has really slowed down. And for as well as Clemson has done in churning out quarterbacks and putting up high-flying offenses there in college, it is an adjustment from that scheme into the National Football League. So I think now you're starting to see his understanding grow, and man, the talent is evident. I mean, you talk about the athleticism, the arm strength, it's all there. The ability to make drive throws, layer throws, he can do it. It's exciting. I think if you're the Jags, you got to be fired up about what you saw from him and what he can do, and giving you a chance to win each and every week when you got somebody like that. So congratulations to Trevor, DJ, big time.
Yeah, DJ, it's so much to that, right? Because when you go down to Jacksonville, fans are still wanting him to be kind of like the franchise savior, right? And you see it every week in terms of how Justin Herbert has progressed and become a superstar. And so I take the comparison like, look, Trevor has similar traits, and eventually what you would like to see Trevor do is some of the Justin Herbert stuff consistently, where each and every week, just because you have number 16, it gives you a chance to win. I will say the transition from Clemson's offense to the National Football League has been one that has been a bit of an adjustment because, look, Trevor said it out of his own mouth. It was simple in terms of what they're doing, and this has more complexity. So it's taken them a while to understand the complexity of the progressions and the reads to figure out who's who and what's what and to play the right way. What Doug has done is, and he's a masterful, I would say, quarterback enhancer. Doug has the ability to see what a quarterback does really well, to then take a handful of concepts and to really put those concepts in a bunch of different things, formations, shifts, motions to hide them, but make it really, really easy for the quarterback. Trevor's really benefiting from having what I think is an A-level play caller around him to help him find his way in the league.
No doubt. Yeah, this has been kind of a 3Ps podcast today here, talking about the ability to have that pass pro play caller protection. It's not complicated. We've kind of simplified the formula here for quarterbacks to be successful. Leads me to our next conversation here. Two teams, 0-2, that entered the season with a lot of hype in the AFC, the Raiders and the Bengals. To me, when you look at these teams, I can kind of lump some of the issues together. I looked up pressures, Buck. The Bengals have been pressured 33 times. You look at the Raiders, they've been pressured 24 times. It's hard to be a successful, productive offense in this league when you're constantly under siege. And you also have, I know a lot of people are talking about guys not playing in the preseason. Joe Burrow is one of those coming off injury, and he's rusty and those things. Yeah, you know what? They need to be a little more firm, and he just needs to be a little bit more decisive. I don't know necessarily that that's rust. That's an adjustment that they're going to have to make.
Yeah, they're going to have to make that adjustment. But the number one thing that you talked about was pressure and how it impacts the quarterback. Going all the way back to when I first entered the league, I heard defensive coaches say this. No matter the quarterback, they all change when they get hit. When the quarterback gets hit, it impacts his ability to stand in the pocket and deliver on time. Not necessarily because he's being hit directly on every hit, but the cumulative effect of being hit, it quickens and speeds up your clock. So now you begin to see and feel ghosts when there's nothing there. And so the timing is off. And so you misfire, and you begin to think that things are there that aren't really there. So the number one thing that the Cincinnati Bengals need to do, they got to figure out a protection part of it. And I know this is where the rub will be with Joe Burrow. If you ask Joe Burrow, he would say, put it on me. I want everybody in the route. The problem is when you do that, he's taking these hits. And no matter how strong and how courageous you are, it changes your game. I think the Bengals have to reconsider how they're deploying their concepts. They may have to leave some more guys in to make sure that their quarterback doesn't get knocked around.
Yeah, the thing is, if I'm Zach Taylor here, I'm literally getting cut-ups from the first 2 weeks of the season of every screen that's been run in the National Football League. and I'm going to cherry pick whatever ones I like, and we're going to flood our offense full of these screens, see if we can't find a way to slow this thing down a little bit, change the launch point, do whatever you got to do, help these guys out. Lyle Collins, by the way, watching the first couple games, not been good for that being a big free agent addition. He has struggled big time for the Bengals.
And he struggled last year with the Dallas Cowboys, and he's been that. And, you know, the Bengals had a lot of activity. But I think John Wooden says, don't confuse activity for achievement. So they made a lot of moves up front, but right now the guys are not playing well as a unit. There's still time for them to get better, but the front line issues and woes are problematic. If you can't protect the quarterback, you have a hard time winning in this league.
Are you more optimistic about the Raiders getting going? I mean, this is a team that's, you know, they've been more competitive. You know, I've been competitive, I should say, in these games, but just 0-2 really gave one away, I would say, against the Cardinals last week. But man, I know their offensive line's not good. I mentioned the pressures that they have, but I look at the weaponry that they have. And they've got edge rushers. I think they've got a chance to turn this thing around. I don't know if it's full blown panic time for the Raiders, but you know, the offensive line has not been good.
No, the offensive line has not been good. They weren't able to close out games. This was a game that hurts, man, because they should have closed out the game. When you're up by the kind of margin that they were up by in the fourth quarter, you have to figure it out. 16 points, it should be a done deal. And you cannot allow a one-man show in Kyler Murray to go off. You can't allow him to run around and make plays, then get the two-point conversion twice on things that he does really well, either athletically or just as a pure pocket passer. And so if you're Josh McDaniels, what you're talking to your team about is the ability to finish games. We've got to close these games out. I guess the problem that I have with them, this team just went to the playoffs a year ago. So you like to think that you don't have to necessarily walk them through and teach them about, you know, the necessary things to win, but they got to get back on track and they got to make sure they understand how you win games in the fourth quarter when the game is tight. You got to convert it. You can't give up extra yardage on penalties. You have to be able to stay firm and finish the game. The Raiders aren't finishing game, which is why they're 0-2.
All right, let me give you another reason why they're 0-2. Think about some of the personnel I talked about with them up front. Through two games, Buck, they have one sack, they have one interception, and they have one forced fumble. Like, this is that's what this league is right now. It's, you're not going to be able to stop people. Offenses are too good, but you got to find a way to get home. You got to get people off schedule, and you got to create turnovers, and they are doing none of that.
Yeah, and so the only way you can do that is you got to win on early downs. You got to earn the right to be able to rush the passer. And, you know, I know the emphasis has been don't allow the ball to fly over here. Keep everything in front. Let's make them drive the ball the length of the field. They're not a very aggressive unit, but the two teams that they played have had quarterbacks who are able to make you pay for being a little passive on defense. I wonder how long before Patrick Graham determines, you know what, I may have to get in my bag a little bit and come after folks.
Yeah, we got to change something up here. 0-2, desperate for a win. All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about Steelers-Browns. Big Thursday night game. Both teams looking for a win, coming off tough losses in week number two. We'll be right back. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. And a position battle we talked about before the season was the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback battle. Mitchell Trubisky up against Kenny Pickett, the first round pick out of Pitt. So far for the Steelers, Buck, they're 1-1. The offense doesn't look right. They're not running the ball well. Trubisky in this passing offense has not been very dynamic, especially was not dynamic last week. When do you think this is coming? I guess it's a conversation we have to have. Is Kenny Pickett getting on the doorstep of getting in here and taking this thing over?
No, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they made the decision to go with Mitchell Trubisky, I think they're kind of committed to seeing if they can go at least halfway through the season before they turn it over to the young player. I felt like Mitchell Trubisky should have been the second teamer coming out the gate, because Kenny Pickett flashed enough in the preseason then I thought you should just put him out there. But now that you've done it, I think you have to kind of ride this out for a little bit before you pull the plug. And so Mitch Trubisky should get up into the bye week to show this team that he can get this offense going before you make the move to the rookie.
Now, this is a big one here because you kind of get a mini bye after this game, right? So to me, you see Kenny Pickett, or you don't see Kenny Pickett this week. You see Trubisky. Can he get things rolling? If they were to really struggle, and we'll get the preview in this game here in a second, but if he were to really struggle this week and you've got a little extended time before the next game, I would think this could be the first window of opportunity that we see Kenny Pickett. But I'm with you. I don't think they would do that this early in the year. They need to start running the ball better. They got to play better up front. They got to get some run game going. And I think that'll set up some more dynamic opportunities down the field. George Pickens needs to get the ball more. He can be kind of that vertical guy. But when you have an offense that doesn't run the ball and doesn't get explosives, and they're not using Trubisky at all as a runner, which I don't understand. I thought that was going to be a big part of what they did. I don't think you're going to be successful. So I don't put all that on Trubisky's shoulders.
No, we talked about this offensive line being a work in progress during the preseason. Had a tough time controlling the line of scrimmage, still trying to gel together with the moving pieces and parts, just trying to get on the same page. And then with Matt Canada fully taking over the offense, working with a different quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger, there's a lot of change and transition. So Steelers fans, just pump the brakes, be patient. The division is still right there. They just need to start stacking some wins together. Stacking some wins will be a byproduct of really putting together good practices and a great plan to really showcase the weapons. And you mentioned this. George Pickens has to play more. They got to figure out what role they can put Chase Claypool in so they can kind of begin to start setting the pecking order to allow the rest of the team to understand clearly who the leaders are, who are the contributors, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, this is a game that you're going to be able to find Thursday night, 8:15 Eastern on Prime Video, also going to be available on NFL Plus. So let's get into this game a little bit from the other side of it with the Browns. The Brownies, when you look at them defensively, obviously an epic collapse last week. You know, they have the busted coverage, the long touchdown to Corey Davis, and then they get the onside kick and they march right down and they give Garrett Wilson nice easy access for a little seam ball against cover two to win the game. But to me, when I look at them, they can run the ball. That's encouraging. They ran it down the Jets' throats. So that's offensively, that's an encouraging sign. Without Deshaun Watson in there, they're able to move the ball. But defensively, I thought when Clowney went out of this game, the Jets dedicated all their attention to Myles Garrett. And now when we look at this game, Clowney's out on Thursday night, and Garrett's questionable. So you might have either one of those guys out there. That might be just what the Steelers needed to get some of this vertical passing game untracked here.
Yeah, it sounds like a recipe for disaster for the Cleveland Browns, given the injury list and what they're coming into the game with. But we've seen stranger things happen on Thursday nights. For the Pittsburgh Steelers, you talk about getting on track. This is the right kind of defense to get on track if you can take care of Myles Garrett. That's the big if. They got to take care of him, because if they take care of him, then they will be able to go in attack mode. And we've seen when they've played aggressively and been able to get the ball out to their playmakers, they're successful. But it is about defending the running game, creating pressure against the Steelers quarterbacks, and then finding a way to generate enough big plays that'll lead to easy scoring chances. You do that, you have an opportunity to win.
Sometimes, by the way, some of your favorite players going into the draft end up being some of your favorite players in the NFL. JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, what he's done through a couple weeks here. He's a stud, man. He is a good, good player. Boy, do they benefit from some of those health risks that popped up right as the draft was starting that year. Had no business falling as far as he did in that draft class. He's definitely a star in this league. All right, we're getting ready to wrap this thing up here. I want to remind everybody, NFL Plus is the league's new exclusive video streaming subscription service. NFL Plus has your game day covered with live, local, and primetime regular season and postseason games right on your phone or tablet. NFL Plus is available on the NFL app and at NFL.com. Subscription plans start at just $4.99 a month. Fans can visit plus.nfl.com and sign up for a free trial of NFL Plus today. I also want to remind you guys, you can find all the Move the Sticks content on NFL's YouTube channel, NFL.com, and the NFL app. So be on the lookout. We've got you covered here. This is second of three episodes this week, Buck. We got one more coming everybody's way. We might have to preview Move the Sticks Classic 2.0. You won the college round. Now we get the pro round. Your Jags, you're part of the broadcast coming to take on the Chargers. I'm part of that broadcast. maybe I can even up this series here 1-1. We'll talk about that Thursday. That sound like a deal?
It sounds like a deal.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll catch you next time here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.